Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, everybody. This is Sally Elcordy, and welcome to Public Advocate Radio. My guest today is Les Jamieson, and he will be speaking about the Secure 5G and Beyond Act of 2020. I would like to refer you to a couple of my blogs because I have been collecting information about 5G since its inception at tinyurl.com/5Grefugee. And I have been covering a lot of this in regard to the current situation with the coronavirus at tinyurl.com/fearvirus. Now, I have recently created a new blog, which is tinyurl.com/6-feet-apart. And that's a series of interviews I've done in regard to the coronavirus. We're going to be up to 15 by the end of this week. And also, the latest is tinyurl.com/wakeup515. Now, what's hilarious here is that the T, as in tiny, the T on my computer doesn't work. Alfred Lambremont Weber may be joining me today to co-host this interview with Les Jamieson. I'm not completely sure, but he sent me a video that really people should pay attention to, and that is that China is not in lockdown as of April 8th. None of their leaders, none of their in the military or in their government have come down with the coronavirus. And their stocks have not plummeted as ours have here. They're saying this video, if, you know, I don't have a link for it, that's the problem. But I will try to get one. It's quite surprising that all of their cities that are very close to Wuhan, China itself, are fully operational. And, you know, crazy. Also, someone keeps passing around this meme, which you can't ignore, and that is that every time a press conference is called, there are 13 people on the stage all within an inch of each other, and we are keeping 6 feet apart. And they're saying they're thinking of going to 13 feet apart. So people have likened the 6 feet apart to 6 feet under, okay, and 13 feet apart, wouldn't that be ironic? Of all numbers, right? So there used to be a bill called H.R. 1313, and I remember when I called my congressperson to say object to it because it was vaccination for all adults for employment and otherwise. I don't know. H.R. 1313. And that was a couple of sessions ago. But nonetheless, when I called Congress and said, I'd like to talk to you about, and I got the legislative person who worked for my congresswoman, and I said, I'd like to talk to you about a bill. And he said, well, what's the number? I said, H.R. 1313. He said, uh-oh. Isn't that hilarious? But anyway, he actually paid a lot of attention to that because it meant that adults would have to be vaccinated to be employed. And he's not a congressperson. He works for a congressperson. I'm sure Congress has excluded themselves from all of these bills. And, you know, I don't know how they're going to get around 5G. Good luck with that. However, I hope my friend Les Jamieson does call in soon, or I hope that he is allowed to call in soon. There may be a block here that I'm not aware of. You know, anything can happen. But anyway, there have been several doctors who've really made a huge effect on this issue, and I'm thrilled to see doctors speaking out. The one yesterday I saw had 3.5 million 3.5 million views. I've never seen anything with 3.5 million views, but this is how important the interview is. And you can find that by Dr. Rashid Buttar, who, by the way, is a frequent guest on the Robert Scott Bell Show, which is how I know him to begin with. He has really rocked everybody with this interview on the Next News Network with Gary Franchi, who, by the way, is doing a spectacular job of interviewing people. Alfred Lambremont Weber is doing a spectacular job of creating a solution through a criminal court for crimes against humanity. Who else? Sasha Stone has joined forces with Alfred, and he independently was conducting a court through the ITNJ. ITNJ. See what else? I've been doing a spectacular job. You know, I'm going on 15 interviews with people who know what's what, and you know, none of them are famous, but they're, you know, blino. So, and I know a lot of people, so they're pretty darn good. I would definitely look at tinyurl.com/6-feet-apart. I'm calling for line dancing. That's, you know, line dancing, everybody, Friday night in the local parking lot. And you can, or local town square. so we can, in the name of fellowship, we can get together and line dance 6 feet apart. What other kind of dancing can you do 6 feet apart? Line dancing. So I wrote to a comic who really is the best in regard to irony. I used to produce comedy shows for 18 years. And I wrote to him and I said, I think now is the time for cheer. You know, the question is, how can you pack a room when everybody's dispersed, you know? I don't know what we're going to do about that. But John Rappaport is doing a spectacular job. He certainly is no stranger to irony. So I would definitely recommend you check out him at nomorefakenews.com. And he has a blog that you'll be redirected to, I'm sure, on that site that has, like, the history of this entire, you know, thingamabob. Coronavirus. And anyway, the first interview I had was one that I couldn't get. So she recorded what she would have said on my interview and sent it to me. And thank you to Otto Lund for uploading it to your video channel and also to Alfred as well. Otto Lund's YouTube has been taken down. He, of course, is a conscientious person, so he would be a likely target. And so he has created a new one on BitChute called Falcon's Cafe. And so he's, you know, covering his website, his new video channel is being used to keep everything current. And he salvaged that interview with Jane Burgemeister. That's who I interviewed. That was my first interview. As I say, she had to send it to me as audio. But it's what she's saying is that we're not just going to be forced to take a coronavirus vaccine, but also an Ebola vaccine. Well, any vaccine is bad news, and as people say, good luck forcing me to take it. You know, you have to draw your line in the sand somewhere. That's where I draw my line in the sand. And you better figure out where you draw your line in the sand, because it's coming to that. I've been warning people for eons. I mean, ages. And, you know, on local public access television, which is where I have made my, I mean, I've really had an impact there. So now you can't do that anymore, okay? Everything's closed down. And to think that people are suffering as a result of lack of work, let me give you some numbers in that regard, if I may. First of all, I want to give a shout out to Governor Cuomo for offering New Yorkers up as the test subjects for the new vaccine. Okay? Thank you, Governor Cuomo, for offering all of New York as the lab rats for this program. How considerate. Okay, now let me find, what was I about to look for? Gosh darn it. Do you remember what I said I was going to share with people? You know, this is an effect of chemtrails. I'm just going to tell you right now, they have been spraying us with aluminum for so long that people are becoming dotty, you know? And I'm a show host. I can't afford not to remember what I'm talking about, as you can tell, right? But the 5G is going to zap the autistic children profoundly. Why? If you look at tinyurl.com/5Grefugee, the entire reason I put that blog up is because autistic children's brains are saturated with aluminum, okay? Now, they're getting it injected into them, as all the children are, and quite frankly, everybody's freaking out because they're coming for them. You know, and I, in my latest blog, thank everybody who's been speaking out on behalf of those who cannot speak for themselves. So we will pick up my honored guest, Les Jamison, right now.
Sally, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Welcome, Les Jamison. You have a big event tonight. I want you to tell us about that and then get into the actual act itself, the Secure 5G and Beyond Act of 2020. So start with your event, and then we will get into the why we're doing it, okay?
Very good, very good. Yes, the event you're describing is a webinar that we're having at 7 p.m. Eastern this evening, having to do with a notice of non-consent to respond to this law.
Les Jamison, if I might stop you right there, are you holding your phone or are you talking from a distance?
Well, I'm using a headphone.
I see. Okay, maybe you could turn the volume up or something?
Okay.
Or put the speaker next to your mouth?
Sure, I'll see what I can do here. Is this any better? Is that any better?
Not really. Not really.
Let's see.
Normally I hear my guests loud and clear. It's not working that way. What I'm doing right now is holding my cell phone, I put it on speaker, and I'm holding the receptor directly up to my mouth. It's never against my head. I never put my cell phone next to my head. But that's one way I'm finding it effective.
Okay. I will try that now. And let me know if you hear any, like, noises or anything. Hopefully that won't occur. But is this better?
No, it's not. No. All right. Well, you can be heard. It's just that I sound five times as loud as you are. But go ahead.
Okay.
And maybe when we play it back, Les, it will be as loud as me, and I'm just not receiving it that way. So just continue as if people can hear you very well.
Okay, very good. Yes. This evening we're having a webinar regarding notice of non-consent of this law, the Secure 5G and Beyond Act of 2020, as well as a law, another broadband law that was passed on the same day, March the 23rd, almost a month ago. And the webinar is at 7 p.m. Eastern. If anybody would like to attend, you can just contact me through my email address, which is artisan3@gmail.com, which is spelled artisan3@gmail.com. I can give that later if need be. And there is a pretty interesting approach that we're taking with this, and that'll be in the information that I'll send you. But the whole point is that we, as members of the society, contributors to the society, given rights under the Constitution, have the ability and obligation to exercise those rights when it comes to laws that are being that are affecting us personally here. And we can either consent, and if we are silent about those laws, by the way, that is deemed as acceptance, acquiescence, or consent. That's the unfortunate reality there. Most people don't even realize these laws are, you know, are being passed and not paying attention. But when we do become aware of a law that is very, very detrimental, we have the right to establish and to convey our non-consent. And it's so important to do that, folks. So that's the essence of this act. Now, of this action, I should say. That's the essence of this notice that we are sending to President Trump, to William Barr, Attorney General William Barr, and Secretary of State Michael Pompeo. And I can read a few segments of it to give you everybody an idea of what we're conveying here. But it, in essence, we're pointing out that this law is not really in our interest. It's for the interest of the corporations, the telecom corporations, and believe it or not, the agencies that are listed in this bill are mainly defense agencies. So I'll list those. But anyway, that is the event that is happening this evening, and you understand now the purpose of this. We have the right, and we are exercising our right to register our non-consent, because these laws were passed, like I said, on March 23rd, when the whole country has been focused nonstop, 24/7, on the coronavirus and the pandemic. So it's pretty shocking once you understand that these laws were being passed while no one was really paying attention. So I hope everybody has a pen and paper, because you'll want to look these up, and so you can read them. They're not very long. The first one is called the Secure 5G and Beyond Act of 2020. Okay, and the
what's the number of that bill? What's the number of that bill so it's easy to look up?
It's Public Law 116-129. That's 116-129.
Is there a Senate bill associated with that?
That is the Senate bill. That is the Senate version. Okay, now the other law is called the Broadband Data Act. I'll get that in a second here. But yeah, you can just
hold on just
find
a second.
It.
I'm going to mute myself, okay? And you continue on for now. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the other law is called the Broadband Data Act, and that is Public Law 116-130. Okay, I'll get into these. Now, the issue here with the Secure, the 5G Secure and Beyond Act of 2020, I'm sorry, Secure 5G and Beyond Act of 2020, the issue here is that this is laying the foundation for the government as a whole to push 5G forward. Okay, it says, for instance, it defines the appropriate committees of Congress to be engaged in this. Now, the Select Committee on Intelligence, the Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation, the Committee on Foreign Relations, the Committee on Armed Services, and the Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs of the Senate. Okay, and it's all about a strategy being devised by all these different agencies. And it says that not later than 180 days after the date of enactment of this act, the president, in consultation with the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, the Secretary of Commerce, the Assistant Secretary of Commerce for Communications and Information, the Secretary of Homeland Security, the Director of National Intelligence, the Attorney General and Secretary of State, the Secretary of Energy, and the Secretary of Defense, and consistent with the protection of national security information, shall develop and submit to the appropriate committees of Congress a strategy. Okay, I'm going to stop there because just pay attention to the nature of these various committees. It's basically intelligence, the military-industrial complex, and the congressional complex. Now, the strategy has to do with security for, get this, fifth and future generation wireless communication systems and infrastructure. So it's not just 5G, but it's even future generations, 6G, which who knows what that's going to bring. But it's interesting to see the scope of this law, that it's setting the stage here for an awful lot of this wireless technology to be developed into the future. And it goes on to say how part of the strategy here is to provide technical assistance to mutual defense treaty allies of the United States, strategic partners of the United States, and other countries when in the security and strategic interests of the United States, to maximize the security of fifth and future generations wireless communication systems and infrastructure. So this is not just the United States. It's also allies in other countries that are part of our, quote, security and strategic interests. And the underlying, I think, central theme here is this is all about these various agencies coming together to work on and provide security for fifth generation and future generation wireless technologies. Why is that? Is that basically implying that there's a problem with the security of these systems? And the answer would be yes. They're insecure. Their wireless is hackable, and wireless is vulnerable to cyber security attacks or cyber attacks. They know this. Okay, so interesting. Why then push forward when, folks, there is a viable and much preferred, much superior alternative that doesn't have the vulnerability of cyber attacks, that is not hackable, that is much safer, that is also even faster than wireless, which is fiber optic networks, fiber optic cable networks. And just a sidebar here is that fiber optic technology has been in operation for many, many years. Matter of fact, there is a major fiber optic pipe coming from Chicago, from the I believe it's the Mercantile Exchange or the Commodity Exchange in Chicago, going across the country to New York to Wall Street. That's all fiber optic cable. Then furthermore, in many cities, there's already pretty significant fiber optic infrastructure. But what happened is Verizon pulled a bait and switch. Although they were charging fees in consumer bills to complete the wired fiber optic cable infrastructure coming to everyone's home, they stopped at a certain point and, without telling the public they were doing so, and switched over to using this money to invest in wireless infrastructure. And there's been a big legal action on this. I'll give you the website that has all this background. It's called irregulators.irregulators.org. They're just like regulators, but irregulators. And Bruce Kushnick is a individual with 37 years experience in telecom, as a telecom analyst. And he has many, many highly credentialed people with him, lawyers and other telecom analysts that have taken on this effort. So, folks, hopefully many of you have been hearing about the problems of 5G, the very, very serious health risks, also the damage to birds and bees and to our biology of our ecosystem. Hopefully you've been hearing also about the dangers, the infringement upon privacy that is capable, that with the use of full-out 5G wireless. Also, hopefully you've been hearing about the potential for 5G used as a weapon, okay? And then that's very serious. We all need to be aware of. And with all of that...
Hasn't it already been used as a weapon to disperse crowds?
I believe I've seen information of actually in Iraq that some type of a microwave weapon was used in Iraq. As far as what you're referring to in terms of crowd control, I've seen video of it actually being experimented and seeing people disperse. And because what it does, it just heats the skin, it burns your skin, and there's no way you can stay in any place, you run. And
so that capability
is well known and understood.
Right. Well, that's really important. Also, there's like the biggest question I have is, once it's implemented, can it be dismantled or not?
5G wireless is implemented. Well, can it be dismantled? The way and the scope, the magnitude, Sally, that is being planned is just incredibly extensive, because what we're talking about here is the Internet of Things that 5G is being designed for. And the Internet of Things is very important to understand. This is where there'll be billions of devices, meaning everything from appliances to your watch to cars to then also manufacturing facilities and medical facilities, all being connected through sensors and microchips, all being powered by this 5G wireless technology, and not only on coming from small cell antennas, meaning, several in per neighborhood, because they have to be placed with what's called densification, due to the fact that the 5G waves are actually mostly millimeter waves that travel only short distances. Therefore, for it to really be fully obtainable, you need cell antennas, 2 to 3 per city block. And furthermore, they're working on satellites beaming down 5G from space, which is even more dangerous because folks will just be blanketed in this, and that's what they're hoping to do, again, for this, quote, Internet of Things, where everything is just operating in microchipped, connected and wired together. And this is incredibly dangerous because there's no research, official research, even on existing wireless technologies. But from what we're referring to here, there's no research showing the safety to any living things about the accumulative effect of all these billions of devices being connected and running on this 5G millimeter wireless technology.
Well, so, I have noticed in my neighborhood that we have, without ceremony, they must have done this in the middle of the night, put up these extremely bright streetlights. Our streetlights have been changed. They're so bright that when you get to a corner, you don't know if a car is coming at you. Normally, you could see lights coming at you, and that would let you know that a car was coming, right? You no longer have any idea if a car is coming, you know, perpendicular to yours because the streetlights themselves are so bright. How does that play into this?
Okay, good point that you're bringing up, Sally, is there is technology now in LED streetlights whereby these streetlights are also equipped with 5G, and I believe they're transmitting 5G. And this is something else additional that we need to look into and be aware of and understand more fully, but that's what it sounds like. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. And I've been hearing already, yeah, people are winding up with their health impacted being near those streetlights. So,
and it's everywhere because I live in Queens, but I was in a remote part of Long Island, and all those streetlights had also been changed. So from a densely populated area to a sparsely populated area, these streetlights are now up.
Right, sure.
And
sure.
If I'm not mistaken, if they have to be put every 300 feet, they're not even 300 feet apart. They are like doubling the effect. They're overlapping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying
right.
that it'll
right.
be, you know, yeah.
Right. So very important to understand. Now, what can we do, you know, and this has to translate into action. And there are, by the way, many, many townships throughout the country of where people have gotten informed, and it started with people noticing, wow, I'm not feeling well. And it just happened to start when a cell antenna went up or streetlights went up in my neighborhood. And what's going on here? And they started to look into it. And then other people in the townships and, you know, people connecting and then winding up saying, you know, we got to do something here. And, well, what do? You know, let's go to city council, and they're supposed to represent us and be here as caretakers of our interests. And they've been going, making presentations all over the country, doing also, like even local street protests and things of that nature, but getting attention, and then also getting political change, meaning things like ordinances passed, even getting cell towers in certain locations removed. And this brings in a very interesting and positive development, which was last August the 9th, there was an appeals court ruling against the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, which is supposed to set the guidelines here for all communications. And this ruling, appeals court charged that the FCC was negligent in its responsibility to set policy for wireless technologies that would be in accordance with the National Environmental Policy Act, meaning environmental law, the laws to protect our environment, as well as another law having to do with protecting historical sites. This lawsuit was brought by the NRDC, Natural Resources Defense Council, and 18 or 19 Indian tribes. So with that ruling, the FCC was brought down for its failure and its negligence to respect the interest of how 5G and wireless technologies impact negatively impacts the environment. And in so doing, all these antennas that we see around us, if there was no environmental impact study, basically illegal. And what many of us in New York have been doing is called a freedom of information law requests. And what that is there's a website for the New York City Department of Information Technology and Telecommunications, and we've been requesting information through this Freedom of Information Act law about the antennas in certain neighborhoods. You can specify what neighborhood that you want to know about applications for cell antennas, wireless cells, and we're in that process. Now, it's been a little slowed down due to the shutdown that we're in now due to the whole pandemic, but that is an example of what people can do. And just to kind of complete a little bit more about the picture I was painting about people all over the country rising up against this, there are hundreds and hundreds of articles and in news segments from local affiliates of CBS, ABC, NBC, from all over the country. And this is, a positive move. Also, there in New York, in New Hampshire, a law was passed a year ago, May here, to establish a 5G study commission. And it's quite comprehensive, and it calls on people from all kinds of related technical backgrounds and health backgrounds to be engaged in putting together, doing the research to provide data and science on the real impact of 5G wireless technologies. So that was actually passed into law. Now in New York State, there are two proposed laws to create and establish a study commission. One is by Senator Abinanti. He's up in Westchester near Tarrytown, I believe. And I'm actually going to get the number for that so people can look this up. It's the letter A08637. Just look up New York. Oh, this is an assembly bill. He's an assembly member. Okay, that's A08637. And Abinanti is spelled Abinanti. Now, additionally, there's a New York Senate bill introduced by Senator Anna Kaplan. That's Anna with two N's, Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N. And the number for this is Senate Bill S, as in Sam, 7922. So what do we do? We contact them, we support them, and from people all around the state, we need everybody to throughout the state to contact their state senator and assembly member and say, please co-sponsor the Senate bill. Please co-sponsor the assembly bill. And that's a very important action as well. So Sally, anything else? And then I'll get back to these two laws that were just passed.
Okay. Well, what I was saying when you called in is that aluminum, from what I understand, is a better conductor than copper by density. And our autistic community, these kids, their brains are saturated with aluminum, which is why I made my blog to begin with, which is tinyurl.com/5grefugee, because of my concern for that community. Now, of course, it's going to affect everybody. As I stated at the beginning of the show, or when you called in, that I talk holding my cell phone. It is never against my head. Everybody out there may have felt the tingling in the tips of their fingers. It's from these hertz, the number of hertz in the EMS, in the electromagnetic frequencies. I want to direct your attention to a specific interview by Catherine J. Frompovich, who you may know, Les Jameson, wrote for Activist Post and Natural Blaze. She has delineated, she has given the very best explanation of 5G I've heard of anyone giving. And she's saying that going from 4G to 5G is 1,000 times the effect. Okay, and she breaks it down for you. So she's been testifying since the 70s on EMFs, Les. So this is, unfortunately, she just passed away. It would have been wonderful had she been working with you or could have worked with you. Okay, also, Dr. Catherine Horton, she was explaining on an interview with Alfred Lambremont Weber, the second half of that interview, which I will put in the comments area, and I ask you, Les, all the documents you're referring to, please put them in the comments area under this video, under this radio show, please. She is saying that we're always hearing about the short waves, G, and that's why they need so many installed 300 feet apart. In fact, those waves, when directed much further, I mean infinitely, according to Dr. Horton, will not diminish in impact and can be directed at an individual, for example, without loss of conductivity. Okay? So that's a very interesting aspect about 5G. Also, the lack of your ability to breathe. This is also being credited to 5G. And I don't know about the effect on your breathing from 5G, but I bet if I went back and listened to Frompovich's interview, she would probably address that. I bet she does. But anything you know about people's ability to get oxygen into their bloodstream and the inability of that due to 5G, if you could talk about that now in terms of the coronavirus, and because they're saying that this ER doctor, emergency room doctor, is saying the ventilators are not, and then I interviewed another researcher who's saying they need, you know, oxygen therapy. That's what they need. They don't need ventilators, which force your lungs up and down, but they need actual oxygen. So how does 5G disrupt your ability to absorb oxygen? Do you know the answer to that, Les?
Right. Well, when the 60 gigahertz part of the spectrum is being used, that is known to disrupt the ability and very, very much damage the ability of the lungs to intake oxygen. That's, I think, the main body of evidence right there. The 60 gigahertz that really, really, really disrupts and interferes and damages our ability to intake oxygen. And in terms of the coronavirus patients, this is where there has been, you know, real, you know, probing into how they are being affected, how they're, what's killing them, basically. And yes, with a ventilator, by the time they get onto a ventilator, their lungs are already very far damaged, you know, greatly damaged. And the ventilators, I'm reading, just further harms their lungs because it's just too much. It overtaxes the system. Their lungs are already weakened, and it basically does not heal them. At a certain point, it adds to their demise, which is unfortunate. And the thing that we need to really pause here is on is the effect, again, in understanding that this wireless technology, even at lower levels, has been known to cause cancers, gliomas, tumors, and so forth. And with the incredible exponential power of 5G over previous technologies, the damage is we have no idea of the amount of damage that this is going to cause to our health and the causing and deaths that are going to result. And it could be if those satellites in space get turned on all at once, according to Arthur Furstenberg, who wrote a book everybody needs to read called The Invisible Rainbow. He says the death will not be gradual. It'd be pretty sudden. This is very, very dangerous. And we again, need to understand this and then come together, inform ourselves, inform everybody we know, and get into action mode. And this, again, means...
Well, if you've ever been in Utah or some very high altitude, this doctor from the ER... working in the ER using ventilators, saying the ventilators aren't working. He's describing this. He said it's as if someone were to drop you on the top of Mount Everest and you could not catch your breath. I think you don't have to, electromagnetically target any individual. All you have to do is deprive them of oxygen. And if you've ever been at a seriously high altitude and couldn't catch your breath, I can see heart attacks happening. I can see just, people stop breathing. So you don't even have to have a heart attack. But just at the incredible stress of trying to catch your breath, you could. Anyway, the point I was making, by the way, in terms of aluminum saturating the brains of autistic children, they're going to be zapped to high heaven technology. I see this as a torture for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And for that matter, because of our diet, because of the environment, so many people do have heightened levels of heavy metals in their body, which act as a conductor, as you state. So this was what I think could be attributed to people now, currently, who are sickened from existing wireless technologies. And there are, it's amazing how many people are already sick. You ready for this? I got a call a few days ago from a man, 88 years old, lives on West 78th Street in New York City. For the past 3 years, he's been suffering, feeling his, and he's lived there, I think he said 30 years. And over the last 3 years, all of a sudden, he feels his skin heating up, and it's all over his apartment. He has a good sized apartment. And, I know many other people with the same thing where, you know, this sensation, their nerve endings burning. And other symptoms are, fatigue, anxiety, heart palpitations, even blood sugar issues and ringing in the ears, anxiety, I might have said already. So there is already, there are people who have had to leave their home, go out to rural areas, run for the hills, literally, to get away, attempt to get away from the inundation of Wi-Fi all around us. So, folks, what do? We need to come together. We need to take action. We need to demand an end to this. We need to demand that the FCC stop its fraudulent standard, where it has a 1996 guideline of what's allowable as safe electromagnetic or radio frequency that was completely inadequate and fraudulent to begin with in 1996. Matter of fact, Robert Kennedy Jr. has a lawsuit against the FCC to get them to upgrade their do a new study and to include all the existing independent peer-reviewed studies showing the dangers of Wi-Fi and dangers of EMFs. So this is what we need to point out and take action on, because the FCC, which is a, quote, captured agency, they are completely influenced and run by very powerful lobbying and telecom interests, and their incentive is to sell off the broadband spectrum because they get billions of dollars from the industries. And what we need to do is fight that, expose it, and let our elected officials know that we know and we demand responsible action, because we are being harmed, and the government, our representatives, constitutionally have an obligation to enact laws and legislation for the protection of the U.S. public. And they're not doing
it. Okay, so we are literally asking them to vote as soon as possible to undo the Secure 5G and Beyond Act of 2020. Is that what we are requesting of them? What are we requesting of them?
We are requesting that, yes, that this law be repealed or amended, and that it includes, especially the Broadband Data Act, that it includes the demand and the directive to employ fiber optic wireless and to stop all fiber optic wired or cabled connections, and to cease and desist from all wireless technology. That's it.
Now, would this be considered pollution?
Yes.
What category beyond electromagnetic frequency would it fall under? Because we have
the
laws
pollution?
Established regarding pollution, for example.
True. But unfortunately, under this administration, all those laws have been basically undermined and nullified one by one.
Let me just tell you right now, I have to find this and read it to you. The EPA, due to the coronavirus, for some reason, the EPA has suspended all regulatory functions. Do you realize that?
Exactly. Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Specifically, yes, I sure do. What this means is that, for instance, any chemical company or oil company doesn't have to abide by the Environmental Protection Act because of the coronavirus. That's the essence of it. So,
yeah, complete farce. I don't see the relationship between the two unless it's bad, you know, unless they're being
fraudulent.
See any relevance there?
It's fraudulent. What they're doing, they're attempting to use this pandemic to basically strike all regulations, all environmental regulations. They don't want any. So I think then what we should do is take the food grown by, you know, oil refineries or water that is being polluted due to the chemical plants, and take it to our representatives and say, here's your food, here's your water, and this is for you and your family. You know, and furthermore, with 5G, I think what we really need to do, because they are hell-bent on continuing to propagandize the American public that 5G is wonderful and we all need it and it's going to be the great frontier for our economy, et cetera, et cetera. We need to tell our elected officials and all proponents in finance and media of all the 5G proponents, great. First, you have an antenna outside your home in your office, and you agree to a 5-year study, a medical epidemiological study, and then when that's done, you can prove to the world that it's safe for public consumption. But absent that, short of that, you are basically negligent. You're actually guilty of malfeasance against the public, which many would argue is criminal, because of the people that are being harmed and to the point of dying. It's criminal. Then until you, the proponents of 5G, establish the safety of this technology so that you be the experiment, not the public, you be the experiment, that's what is required here. Because otherwise,
I've been calling for that in regard to vaccination for a decade. You first, you know, legislators first. It says here EPA suspends environmental rules indefinitely. Indefinitely. Mm. All I can say is we should dismantle the EPA. I think we should dismantle the CDC and the FDA and all these other agencies who are not responsible to respond to us. We can't appeal to them. We didn't elect them, and we can't appeal to them. These agencies are going to be the death of us yet. What is this? It says losing identity to the hive mind. Can you explain the hive? Are you familiar with this term?
Hive mind, HIVE?
Well, it's basically because of the Internet of Things, we become part of the machine.
Probably through these chips. Where artificial intelligence takes over human beings, that kind of thing.
Probably, yes. I haven't read the article, but I'm sure this is part and parcel of this agenda.
Right. There's some people who, you know, going into that dark area where AI becomes, I think the term is transhumanism, where humans are injected with this technology. It's called transhumanism. That's what that sounds like. And but that is very, very bizarre. Hopefully we're not to the point where that is – could become widespread reality, but who knows what the extent of the evil and the agenda for global domination, who knows what the extent is that is being planned. And all we can do here is look at this, you know, science that does exist on the damages of 5G, the effects on all kinds of health. There are categories of 5G peer-reviewed studies that fall under neurological damage, cardiovascular damage, blood sugar damage, you know, diabetes causes due to wireless, and many other scientific parts of the human body that wireless technology and electromagnetic radiation is causing damage to. There are studies on all these many categories. And what's also very important to understand, too, is some history, which going back to The Invisible Rainbow by Arthur Furstenberg, he has put together a history of how when the rolling out of mass-scale electronic or electrical or radio technologies have been followed by pandemics. And very important to understand this and look at it, and also to understand how just, again, the disruption to the natural electrical properties of the planet and to our bodies, to every living cell. We're basically vibrational beings. Right, every cell is a vibrational frequency, and when those that gets disrupted, problems happen. So,
also your emotional well-being, they can put these vibrations at different levels, so that people feel great, or people feel suicidal. The entire neighborhood, you know. I'm just saying suicide will escalate if they use it the wrong way.
I've read that, yes, emotions can be affected and even controlled. So
the different vibrations give you different affect your wellness, you know? And the sun's vibration is supposedly affects you the best. So to emulate that vibration would be wonderful. But the sun already exists. We don't need help there, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we want to maintain the natural vibrational properties that surround us, that maintain us, that we must have in order to live optimally. And then also to eliminate all the unhealthy and unnatural vibrational currents that exist here that are basically man-made, you know? So that's important to understand. And folks, there are many great websites on all of this information. There's a video here, take this down, called the 5G Dragnet. It's by James Corbett. Corbett. It's only 28 minutes long. I'd urge you to watch that. There's another one called 5G Apocalypse, Extinction Event.
Extinction.
There it is.
Okay. 5G Apocalypse, the Extinction Event. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, that sounds very serious. Also, it leads towards sterility. I've been told for men, they should not keep their cell phone in their front pocket because the EMF that are emanating from it will cause sterility. So all of when you're talking about the extinction events, certainly sterility is not a non-issue there, as it is with vaccines causing sterility. The end game, of course, is to wipe everyone out, and we really have to say this is the end game, and this is how 5G will play its part in the end game, and it's going to be fast. It's going to be fast. So if you want to stop, if you want to save your own life, I recommend that you participate in what Les Jamieson has, through a lot of thought and many months of work. You've been working on this over a year by now, am I correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so having assessed all of the different options, this is what you're recommending, and lay it out for us, Les. Be as specific as possible, because not everybody will be able to tune in at 7 p.m. this evening. I want them to benefit from all of the work you've done.
Thank you. And I will send some materials that can be linked here on your website below this recording. And my email, again, please get in touch if you want to be involved. And I can send you a lot of materials on local actions that you can be taking. Okay, my email is artisan3@gmail.com, spelled artisan3@gmail.com. And if you'd like to join us in our webinar this evening, we're going to be having it at 7 p.m. Eastern. Email me, and I will forward you the details. There will be a $15 fee. We have some expenses here, folks. Sorry about that, but it's minimal, and the value will be, you know, much, much higher. We'll be sending out a lot of materials on the rationale and the explanation of who we really are in our constitutional true identity. And,
well, can I PayPal you a payment right now? If I send a PayPal to the email artisan3@gmail.com for $15, could I do that?
Actually, I'll give you the email. No, there's a administrative helper that would be the one to send it to, Sally.
And who? What's that email address?
Yeah. Give me a second. I'm going to pull it up right now.
That also in the comments area beneath the program. I will transfer everything you put there but they won't be live links. In the comments, you get live links. Under the screen, they'll all be non-live links.
Sure, sure.
But at least
okay.
You'll see it readily.
All right. Okay.
You can always copy and paste. That's what I do.
You'll send it to Elise. Okay, I better spell this out. It's E-L-L-I-S, as in Sam, E-L-I-Z-A-B, as in boy, E-T-H-2-4, @gmail.com. So that's the name of Ellis Elizabeth. L-L-I-S.
Okay. Well, I'm going to spell it back to you. ELLISELIZABETH23@gmail.
Almost 24@gmail.
Oh, 24.
Right.
Boy, how did I screw that up? At Gmail. Okay.
No.
Okay. Okay. Elise Elizabeth 24. At Gmail.
Right, I'm pretty sure that's. Oh, wait a minute.
What?
I'm sorry. I just scrolled down. Okay, scratch that. It's the non-guru network @gmail.com. Sorry about this. The non, N-O-N, guru, G-U-R-U, network @gmail.com. The non-guru network @gmail.com. Got that?
Yes, the non-guru network network. My T doesn't work on my computer, if you can imagine. I have all these tiny URL .com links, and my T doesn't work. Isn't that remarkable? But everybody, okay. It's the non-guru network @gmail.com. And you can
right.
Send $15 to that and join the symposium this evening that
yes.
Les Jamison
yes.
is conducting. But definitely write to him to take part in it at artisan3@gmail.com. Okay.
Very good. Okay. Thank you.
But Okay. Well, is there anything else you'd like to impart? I mean, there's one solution that you are recommending, and that is to say, I do not consent to the president, to the Secretary of State, and to William Barr, what is his title again?
Well, Attorney General.
Attorney General, yes. Yeah, that just slipped my mind. Yes, justice. Justice is our last line of defense. So let's pray that justice will prevail.
You bet, you bet. So this is one of a few different actions, and please do be in touch for any additional actions that we're doing. And this is, you know, critical. Also, if you are an organizer, you have other networks and stuff that need to know this information, I'll be happy to share things that you can forward to your networks, because that's so important, and really show that we are we're a force, we're a major constituency, and with that, we'll do everything we can to turn this around, and that's so vital, especially now. So, Sally, I want to thank you for having me.
Yes, delighted to help, because you've been such an activist on this issue. You've always been an activist in regard to the 9/11 issue, and you're at the forefront of really tackling tough issues. So thank you, Les, for decades of conscientious activism.
Glad to be of service, and glad to be in partnership with people like yourself. Thanks, Sally.
Okay. Cheerio, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye.